Love is as love does. Love is an act of will, namely both an intention and an action. Will also implies choice. We do not have to love. We choose to love. That's bell hooks from the cover of our bulletin this morning, the revolutionary Black feminist author, scholar, and activist who died this past week, from her book, All About Love. Thanks be to God for a life and a life's work dedicated to confronting and dismantling intersectional systems of oppression and domination, imperialist, white supremacist, capitalist, heteropatriarchy. Love for bell hooks in the cause of individual and collective liberation and justice. Love is our focus this week in our four-week Advent journey, having taken us from hope to peace to joy and now to love. On the threshold of Christmas and our celebration of divine love incarnate. This week, the liturgy rightly turns our attention to Mary, the unexpected mother of Jesus. And this week turns our attention to Mary's exuberant song of praise, the so-called Magnificat, echoing Hannah's song over the miraculous birth of her son, Samuel. Mary likewise exalts in God's blessing and lifts up God's vision of justice and peace, a vision rooted in an everlasting covenant of love and faithfulness between God and God's people. The promise God made, as verse 55 describes it, as Amy just read, to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Bell Hooks also wrote in All About Love that, quote, a generous heart is always open, always ready to receive our going and coming. In the midst of such love, we need never fear abandonment. This is the most precious gift true love offers, the experience of knowing we always belong. That is true love, God's love, God's covenant, God's promise that we will always, always belong. Our scripture readings this morning come right after the so-called Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel visits the Virgin Mary and tells her that she will conceive a son, and not just any son, of course, one who will continue God's covenant and fulfill God's kingdom. How can this be, she asks, since I am a virgin? Reasonable question, to be sure, to which the angel responds with mystery and intrigue, describing a holy interchange between divine and human. For nothing will be impossible with God, the angel reminds her, and at that she chooses love. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Now, given the angel's pronouncement, you could argue that Mary does not actually have a choice in this scenario. But here in her response, her clear consent, here am I, let it be with me according to your word. God chooses her, yes, but Mary chooses to accept and embrace this role, this responsibility. It is her choice. It's her choice to make. As Catherine Norris writes, Mary, quote, does not lose her voice, but finds it. Like any of the prophets, she asserts herself before God, saying, here am I. There is no arrogance, however, only holy fear and wonder. Mary proceeds as we must do in life, making her commitment without knowing much about what it will entail or where it will lead. In choosing to become the mother of Jesus, Mary is faithfully committing herself to participate in the ongoing unfolding of God's covenant of love and the fulfillment of God's kingdom of love. And this is exactly what her relative Elizabeth celebrates in their meeting. following her encounter with the angel, our reading this morning again, as Amy read, picks up with Mary's visit to Elizabeth, the soon-to-be mother of John the Baptizer. Her child, Elizabeth's child, leaped in the womb, we're told, upon hearing Mary's greeting, just hearing her voice. And then filled with the Spirit, Elizabeth proclaims what Mary has not yet told her and what is not yet visible to the naked eye. She says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" She who would have been disgraced under the circumstances and within her social and cultural context is instead blessed by Elizabeth. Her shame is turned to joy, and Elizabeth goes on to bless Mary above all else for believing that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Mary is a young, poor, now pregnant, unwed Jewish woman living under the political, social, and economic oppression of Roman occupation, Roman imperialism. We can't forget that reality. And within that context, Mary's choice is rooted in her enduring belief in the good news of God's covenant and the good news of God's kingdom to come. Another way than the way she knows all too well. She is claiming her God-given power and agency and choosing to commit her ordinary voice and her vulnerable, lowly, what she calls lowly life, to an extraordinary cause, to a divine cause way bigger than herself. And it's important here to note the contrast between Mary and Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, the priest. You may recall, if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, Zechariah's response to a visit from the same angel, Gabriel, sent to tell him that Elizabeth, previously barren in her advanced age, would bear a son. He's skeptical and insists on proof and is promptly punished, although I think gracefully, for his doubt. But now, the angel says, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur. So it's true that Mary also raises a question upon hearing the angel's unbelievable news. Again, how can this be since I am a virgin? But her question is marked by curiosity, more faith seeking a deeper understanding than Zechariah's doubt seeking proof. Judith Jones writes that Zechariah, quote, Zechariah asked for proof that the angel's word was true. Mary asked for an explanation of what was going to happen to her and then gave her willing consent. Zechariah, the religious professional, doubted God. But Mary, the peasant girl, believed. And her trust in God's word opened the door for God to bless her and to bless the whole world through her. Elizabeth celebrates Mary's willingness to say yes to God. In response to Elizabeth's blessing of Mary, honoring her belief, Steve Garnes Holmes writes, "This time of year, we're told to believe. But what does that mean? Judging from the movies, to believe means to believe in magic or Santa or romance, to be optimistically wishful and naive. In many Christian circles, to believe means to think, as in believing certain doctrines are true. But the word believe comes from Old English, rooted in German by Lieben, to love. In Scripture, to believe means to give your heart, to lovingly entrust yourself, not to an idea, but to a person." And he goes on to write, "Blessed is she who trusts God and the power of love. Blessed is she who trusts that God's promise will be fulfilled in her. Blessed is she who trusts that her love is more powerful than empires." Hear that. "Blessed is she who entrusts herself to the one who births her and who is in her and whom she births. Blessed is she who trusts her worthiness, that her calling is sure and her gift is needed and her voice carries weight. Blessed is she who gives herself over to the divine work of bearing love in the world. God chooses Mary, for sure. Mary chooses to give herself over to the divine work of bearing love into the world. And with her choice comes the kind of commitment that bell hooks describes as indicative of true love, love marked both by intention and action. In Mary's case, the literal commitment to pregnancy and eventually parenthood of the revolutionary rebel Jesus, divine love incarnate. And in our case, as Advent turns toward Christmas, Mary's miraculous, mysterious pregnancy becomes the metaphor for the invitation that is always before us. To believe the good news and give ourselves over, like Mary, to the divine work of bearing love into the world. To the ongoing labor of love we also talked about a couple of weeks ago. To choose love, true love, love actually. Love in action, love more powerful than empires, that confronts oppression and domination and empowers liberation and justice. Love that fulfills God's everlasting covenant and desire for God's people. As Mary's song so powerfully proclaims, again echoing Hannah and echoing the prophets who come before her and anticipating her own child, Jesus. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Love is as love does. We do not have to love, we choose to love. The divine work of bearing love into the world is ours to do, all of us. Friends, may we believe like Mary and give our hearts and our lives to it. God only knows what blessings may come. May it be so.